Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much for downloading or streaming another episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. We appreciate that so very much. Before we get to our trip report with Jamie Lee from up in British Columbia, how about a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. You need a good read here in October. You know, the nights are getting longer. It's getting colder outside. It's the time to snuggle up with a good read. And now you have two options. You have The Wisdom of Walt, where, Jeff Barnes talks to us about the lessons Walt left us in Disneyland, how he built that and how he persevered and, you know, all the lessons we can apply to our lives, our relationships. But also, brand new, we have Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, which is focused on Walt Disney World, our favorite place. So for all the details on these great books, just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com or check them out on Amazon. Again, thewisdomofwalt.com. We're also brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. For less than $15, you're going to have a year's worth of great information to devise the perfect plan for your vacation and keep everyone in your travel party happy. And you cannot put a price on that. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1234. That's right, 1234 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And for those of you that are off today for the traditional Columbus Day holiday, congratulations. That's good doings because I know not everybody's off today. So either way, we're going to start your week with an awesome trip report. And we're heading up to British Columbia, up to where it is gorgeous up in the Northwest. Jamie Lee is joining us here on today's show. Jamie Lee, how's it going?
It's great.
Glad to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us again here.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So let's talk about your trip. You were actually down there, down at Walt Disney World, the same time we kind of overlapped as our big July extravaganza that we took a couple months back. So tell us about where you stayed and when you were there and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So we were down there on July. When did we get there? July 7th is when we arrived. Really early in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. and we were there until the 15th. We took off on the 15th and we stayed at the Port Orleans Riverside Hotel.
All right. So this is going to be a good one for folks that are thinking about going down in the summer again. I'm a big fan of that time, even though it is hot. It's hot here in St. Louis as well. We'll talk about how you dealt with the heat because you're not obviously from where it gets just brutally hot all the time in the summer. But before that, let me ask you. So, who did you travel with on this trip?
So I went with my husband and his brother and his brother's girlfriend. And his brother's girlfriend hadn't been to Disney World before, so she was a noob, which was exciting.
Love that stuff. When you take a first timer, it's fun for everybody in the group. I believe that, you know, because say, you know, it's their first time on Peter Pan and you've ridden it 100 times, you'll catch yourself watching their reactions to things rather than, you know, seeing, you know, even though I love looking at the flying over London scene, you know, I like to catch the first timers, excitement or surprise when they're experiencing stuff like that.
Totally. It's super fun, especially on the roller coasters.
Oh, yeah, I bet. So let's talk here for a second about the planning. So how did this trip come about and why did you decide in July and stuff like that? With all the planning, how did you decide that this is how it's going to work out?
So I did most of the planning. My husband and I usually go down every couple of years to Walt Disney World. We're big fans. We decided on July because his brother's a teacher. So that's when he gets time off, and his girlfriend has two jobs, and basically that week lined up with the two jobs for her time off. So that's why we decided to go then. Otherwise, we probably would have gone when it was a little bit cooler, but it still worked out really well. It was still really fun.
Yeah, it's funny. I think you couldn't throw a stone very far in the summer months without hitting a teacher down at Walt Disney World. That's when all the teachers travel, obviously. It's the only time you can.
Definitely, yeah.
So you travel from the West Coast, obviously from up in British Columbia, which is a mega trip down to the peninsula of Florida. So what's that like for somebody that maybe is lucky enough to live in the, southeastern United States and they don't have to consider the travel? What's it like to travel that distance?
So it's pretty long. It's actually about the same length of travel time as like going to Europe. and you end up doing a few different flights. So we ended up flying Victoria to Seattle, Seattle to Salt Lake City, and then Salt Lake City down to Florida. And we ended up treating ourselves a bit because we got a really cheap deal on our flight. It was only $400 a person. And so we ended up buying first class tickets down, which was super fun, which I had never done before. So that kind of helped with the long trip because we got to go to the lounges because we had long layovers and enjoy the first class lounges, which have free drinks and food and everything, which is pretty cool. Very comfy seats. And of course, the plane ride is quite lovely. You get a pre-flight drink and you get drinks throughout the night or whatever. And then great for sleeping because we did a red-eye flight. So
that's awesome. Yeah, so, because, I mean, it's definitely something different to consider because, now that I've started flying, it's a 2.5-hour nonstop flight from St. Louis. Boom, we're at Orlando International. Not a big deal. But when you're considering something like you said, I mean, that, it's going to take the better part of a day to travel there. You don't want to be uncomfortable. So that might be a place where you splurge just a little bit because you don't want to arrive exhausted and you want to have a pleasant trip there, too.
Yeah, totally. It definitely helps. We left at, I think, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the 6th, then we got in at 5 a.m. Florida time on the 7th. So it was definitely a long trip, but totally worth it with the first class. It made it very, very nice, actually.
So tell us about when you arrive. I mean, 5 in the morning, you've been traveling for the better part of 24 hours. Do you have jet lag? What's that first day like? Are you just kind of a walking zombie, or what was that like?
So we've actually done this before. We tend to try and do the overnight flights just because we want to get as much as we can out of the tickets. And so we like to have that full day when we come down, even though it's kind of crazy. But neither of us have kids, so we're kind of like, it's okay, we'll make it work. but you're a little bit tired, but at the same point, you're really excited. So we got there, we dropped off our bags at the hotel. The lady was like, why are you here this early? Your room's not ready. I'm like, yeah, no, that's cool. and then we just wandered around Port Orleans Riverside a little bit because we had never stayed there before. And it was really beautiful in the morning, just kind of seeing the sun come up and everything. And then we ate food once the cafeteria opened. And then we went to the Magic Kingdom for the day and waited for our room to be ready. So that was pretty much our day. It was good.
So how did that first day work out, though? Because I know, I'm just kind of comparing it to back when I used to drive. We'd leave here at about 5 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening, drive through the night, get there about the same time you arrived. They'd ask us the same thing. Sir, you're here at like 5:30 in the morning and your room's obviously not ready. And so I would just, do my check-in and just kind of, we'd chill at the pool or we'd do something until the room became ready. But we were always exhausted. Now, you slept on the plane, obviously, it sounded like a little bit, but Was the first day kind of a blur, or was it something that you really still enjoyed?
Yeah, it was a bit of a blur, but we took it easy. We've done these trips a few times now, so this time our goal was to kind of sit back and relax and enjoy the scenery a bit more, as opposed to the feet on the street, go that we normally do. So we got there and we got to Magic Kingdom, we kind of wandered around, did some rides, I had a touring plan, and we eventually went back to the room to have a little bit of a rest, and then we came back and met up with Will's brother-in-law, who they flew in at, or Will's brother, my brother-in-law, my bad. they flew in, I think they got in at like 5, and then we had dinner at the Skipper Canteen at 8. So we just kind of kept going. We didn't really rest much because they got to the hotel and then we just, hung out with them, had a few drinks or whatever. And I think we were just really excited. So we just kept going, even though we were a little bit tired. And then by the time we got back that night, then we were like, okay, we really need to sleep because now we've been up for a really long time. So.
Yeah. You get that adrenaline rush of actually being there, going under the gates, checking into your hotel, hitting the Magic Kingdom for the first time on your trip. But then you're right. You hit the wall hard when it actually finally catches up to you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, It was intense. We watched those fireworks, and then we were like, okay, time for bed.
Let me ask you about Riverside. So why, of all the Walt Disney World resorts, why was it Riverside this time?
Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I actually took it under your guys' recommendation, because you guys have stayed there a few times, and we've been to a few of the other resorts, and we wanted to stay at a moderate. We knew that, and it just looked like a really neat, kind of cozy, kind of chill resort to stay at, so that's kind of why.
So what was your overall impression? Would you recommend it to our listeners?
Yeah, I loved it. It's a beautiful resort. It's nice and big. We did the Surrey bikes, so that was really fun. And I was just tall enough to not sit in the basket at the front, which was great. The lady told me not to laugh. Apparently, they put a 25-year-old in there the day before. So I was like, okay, I won't laugh.
We put Paige and her friend in the baskets one time over at the boardwalk when we rented the Surrey bikes. And they were just like... they were too big to be in the basket, and it almost gave me a heart attack trying to pedal them around the boardwalk. But that's another story for another day, I guess.
Yeah, no, it was cool, and the pool's great. The pool bar is great. We hung out at the pool bar for the better part of a day on one of the days just to relax, and we really enjoyed it. We read our books and played games there and stuff, so it was nice to enjoy the resort as well.
You guys are brave souls, though, to rent the Surrey bikes in July. That had to have been pretty hot.
It wasn't too bad because it was in the morning, so that was the day that we stayed at the resort for the most of the day, and we rented them around 10 o'clock, so it wasn't too bad. And it's pretty shady there. There's a lot of trees.
That's true.
So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it's a good place to run because of that. You're right. I mean, it is semi-shaded on the the food court side, the main building side of the Sasagula. Now, when you get over to the other side of the mansions, when you get out of Alligator Bayou, it is sunny there, but yeah, it's a great place to run and to enjoy the resort. I'm glad you liked it. So, well, let's talk about your touring of the parks. You guys mentioned, you know, you have touring plans, you have a good idea, but you have a newbie. So how did you go about laying out the plan for the times in the parks?
So we kind of did Magic Kingdom ourselves on day one. Like I said, they didn't get there till later. So they ended up doing a Magic Kingdom day later in the week. But day two, we did Epcot, which was super fun. We kind of just enjoyed the ride. The newbie, as we'll call her, kind of went online and knew which rides she wanted to try out and which ones she was slightly afraid of, and those were the ones we had to like coax her onto. So I kind of sent her a big plan that had where we were going to go and when. Epcot was day two. We did Animal Kingdom on day three. We did Typhoon Lagoon on day four for my husband's birthday and went for dinner. We went to Universal and did the Harry Potter because all of us are big Harry Potter fans, so we went and did Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley, which was super cool. And then we did a Behind the Scenes tour. And then we just kind of took it easy and did whatever kind of floated our boat for the other few days because we had already gone to most of the parks. So that was pretty much our whole trip. It was good.
That sounds a lot like how we do it. You know, we plan stuff towards the beginning, and then at the end, it's just kind of pick up what we want to do again or what we missed, or, you know, just keep that kind of loose on the end of the trip. Let me ask you this question because you have, you know, very recent firsthand knowledge of this, and it's a question we get on the Wednesday shows quite often. And, you know, I'm not a big Universal guy, but I'm a pure Disney guy. But how did you work Universal into your Disney-focused vacation when you're staying at Riverside? Like, how'd you get over there? And is there anything you would tweak as far as trying to work both experiences into one trip?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little difficult because I'm kind of the same way as you were. Like, I'm like, oh, I want as much Disney time as I can get. But at the same point, I really love Harry Potter, and I'd been wanting to go there for a little while. So we all decided on a day that we wanted to go. And then we bought the park hopper. I don't know what it's called there. I forget.
Yeah, I think the park
hopping ticket. Pass,
yeah.
Whatever, mm-hmm. Basically, same thing. So that we could go to both because the train is, the Hogsmeade or the Hogwarts Express is different both ways. So that's kind of cool. And then we took a cab from the resort. It took about 45 minutes because there was a lot of construction going on. So that was a little bit lengthy, but it was worth it. I would say the only thing I would say is it's cool. I don't know if I would do it again. Like, I enjoyed it, but I'd probably go and try some of the other rides rather than just doing Harry Potter World again. And I think it's definitely cool though. If you're into Harry Potter and you're into some of the bigger rides, I would definitely suggest going. It is really fun. But yeah, it doesn't have the same kind of magic as Disney, I would say. Diagon Alley was really, really immersive, and I would say there's some of that part was probably almost better than some of the Disney stuff. But Hogsmeade, you could still see like the other parts of the park, like, you know, you could kind of see like the bigger roller coasters and stuff, so it wasn't quite as immersive, but it was cool. It was definitely a different experience, really fun. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, I agree with how you did it too, because you got to think about it. And when we used to drive, we did this more. That's one of the advantages to driving over flying, you know, the last year or so, is that we would go for these long summer vacations and I'd always work in something Central Florida or, you know, Space Coast or something like that in the middle of the trip. And it sounds like you did the same with Universal, where, you know, we got 3 or 4 or 5 days at Disney, which, you know, I love and I was just all about. And I would schedule like our beach day where we went to Cocoa Beach, or we went over to Jetty Park, or we, you know, did something on the Space Coast, or, you know, whatever it was outside of Disney for a day. I'd schedule that in the middle of the trip, because that way, you know, I could go, you know, we still had a few more days at Disney after that day, because that, you know, inevitably the beach day was fun, but I was regretting still not being at Walt Disney World and being at my resort that day. And so it sounds like you kind of did the same, where you don't want to kind of put it at the very end, because it's like, oh, we're leaving Disney now. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff in the middle.
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of why we planned it that way. We figured we'd get some Disney time, and then we'd get, you know, one day at Universal, and then we'd come back and we'd still have lots of time to enjoy the parks.
All right. Well. So tell me about the rest of your travel party. Like, what were some of the highlights, you know, now that you've had time to reflect since summer, now that it's fall and you've probably swapped stories, you know, on the way home or, you know, since then, what are some of the highlights of the trip for them?
I think the biggest thing for them was actually, she was really scared to go on roller coasters and she really wasn't into it. And there was a few times where she like flat out said no. And then we would ride it, and then we'd come out and we'd talk about it for a while. And then she would go and ride it and she was like, oh, that's amazing. And then, you know, like that was kind of cool because she got over like a big fear for her, which was fun. So she did a couple of rides, a couple of the bigger roller coasters at Disney, but she was really scared to do the big Dueling Dragons one in Universal. And then she did it and we had to do it again because she was so excited. And then she was like, now I can do any roller coaster. So it was like, it was really awesome to see her kind of be free with that, which was great because she was so locked down on that before. She was like, oh, I can't do it because I'm too scared. And then it was fine.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but I mean, I'm sure everybody listening today has, you know, somebody in their family or themselves, you know, like I remember, you know, when I was like in middle school, all my buddies were riding like the Ninja and stuff at the Six Flags, like went upside down 7 times. I was like, man, I'm not really big on, I'm still never really big on heights, you know, and that thing was super high. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. But when you conquer that, it's a big deal.
It's totally a big deal. And I was kind of the same way when I first went to Disney. I was like, oh, I don't want to go on this. And my husband was like, you'll be fine. 4-year-olds ride it. I'm like, right. I knew that.
Love it. Love it. That's so funny. Now, let me ask you. So you were down there. Obviously, this would have been your first time with Pandora being open. I mean, I enjoyed that in July as well. So what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we actually got to go to Pandora a couple of times. We did it at night because it was open really late when we were there still, because they extended the hours, which was cool. So we got to enjoy it at night first, and we went and did the Navi River ride or River Journey because it was the lineup wasn't too bad at that time. That was really beautiful. I almost cried at the end because it was just so cool, like the build up to it. I liked it. It was good. It was. I guess I kind of heard some of the reviews, so I kind of knew going in that there were some people that weren't as impressed with it. But I don't know. I thought it was really well done. It really felt like you were in the magic. It was very cool. And then we did the Flight of Passage the next day during the daytime. And that was super cool. I really enjoyed that. Amazing ride with like the 3D projections and the spray that hits you and like the contraption underneath you breathing and stuff. That's pretty cool. The whole story was neat. And just the environment, just walking around Pandora was just amazing. Like it just kind of blew your mind a little bit that they were able to build something like that and just make it feel so real and like you were in a completely different place.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's visually stunning. I think that's so true of the Navi River Journey. It's, you know, I don't think Well, now let me ask you this. Are you somebody who's seen Avatar, a big fan of the movie? Does that matter for you?
I've seen the movie. I saw it a couple of times when it first came out. I didn't watch it recently. Like, I remember it being very cool because it was one of the first really big 3D movies that came out. And I remember really enjoying it. But I was never really, like super gung-ho about it, but I never really had a problem with it either. Like, it was definitely a cool movie, and it's neat that they were able to make it into another property.
Yeah. I love The Land, and I like that I've never seen the movie, and I still think, wow, it's gorgeous in there. I don't get, all the, specific things that probably relate to the actual story of Pandora and all that, but they do a good job of introducing enough of that, while you're getting ready to go on Flights of Passage and stuff like that. Did you guys get a chance to eat at Santuli Canteen? That's one of my favorite places now.
Yeah, well, we had a dessert there. We ate the blueberry cheesecake one that looks kind of funky.
It did look. I didn't have it. I got too full eating. I was going to go back and get it, and then I'm like, I can't. Too many cheeseburger pods.
Yeah, we were there late at night, so we just, our friend grabbed it, our girlfriend grabbed it, so... Cool. It was good. She let us try a bite. It was good. But I just had a beer. I didn't actually, my intention was to go and use the new ordering system, but we just ran out of time to do that. So we didn't end up getting to do that, but I'll try that next time.
That's it. Next time. That's what it's all about. It's always about next time. I have one of those, like a margarita kind of thing over by the store. Like where I forget the name of the store, but you go into that store's drink stand outside and have like a little, I don't know, crazy little balls in the top that dissolved in your mouth. It was a very interesting kind of drink. I don't know. It tasted really good on a hot summer day. I can tell you that because we were there in the afternoon.
Yeah, totally. I know. I saw people walking around with those, and I heard about them from the website and podcasts and stuff. They sounded pretty cool.
Had a little kick to them. All right. So while we're talking about dining, you mentioned you guys had a meal right off the bat at Skipper Canteen. We don't talk about that too much. I think a very underappreciated, under the radar restaurant. So what'd you guys think?
Yeah, it was actually really cool. A funny thing happened when we were there, actually. There was a tornado warning, and we heard it go off in the back, and we got a tornado warning on Will's phone. And then it went away, and then it was gone. But we saw the manager like running around being like, oh my God, do we have to like batten down the hatches? Like, what is going on right now? But the food was really good. The skipper was great. Yeah, it was just easygoing.
I'm just thinking about that. That's probably one of the worst places to be during some kind of a serious situation because you're like, are they playing with me? Are they just acting? Because like they do screw around in that restaurant a lot. I'd be like, okay, they're just playing some sound in the back there for me.
Yeah, totally. I know. It was a little bit freaky. We were kind of like, okay, what do we do now? But nothing happened. It was all right. There was a big storm later, but it was just a thunderstorm. It was fine.
There you go. I love those Florida thunderstorms. As long as they're safe, I love a good thunderstorm in the summertime. So let me ask you about the rest of your dining. So what are some of the highlights, or maybe you guys went to some of the bars or lounges. Looking back, what were some of the highlights of that?
Yeah, we went to a few different places this time, actually. We did the Yak and Yeti sit-down for lunch. We did Narcoosie's for my husband's birthday. We did Flying Fish Cafe. We did Tiffin's, which was delicious. Tiffin's was probably the best restaurant that we've been to on property ever. Kind of rivals Gico for me, which is my original favorite restaurant there. And we went to Raglan Road as well, and we enjoyed some nighttime entertainment there, which was great on the patio. We also went to Abracadabar one night when we were going. I think that was just before we went to Flying Fish. Tune In Lounge is a total gem. Love that place at Hollywood Studios. Super cool, and the bartenders are hilarious. And I also tried Tea Traders, which was on my list because I love Joffrey's tea. And they make some really cool tea cocktails there, which was really fun. That's at Disney Springs.
Man, you guys had that's a great lineup of lounges and restaurants there. It's making me hungry right now because we're recording around dinner time. So let me ask you about.
I know, me too.
So you guys were over at Disney Springs at Raglan Road, Tea Traders, stuff like that. What did you think of Disney Springs? I mean, was this the first time back since it's kind of fully operational?
Yeah, when we went last time, it was all under construction, so we didn't really spend a lot of time there last time. So this time it was nice to actually hang out there and see the new stuff, see the new mall. We went to the co-op, and I bought a Dooney & Burke Disney purse, which I was pretty excited about, and a number of other things. It's cool. They've done a really good job of it. It feels a lot more immersive than before, where it just kind of felt like just like a restaurant place. Like, it seems cooler now. There's just more to do, more to see. Does that make sense?
No, they've totally just, blown up what it used to be and expanded on it, especially as far as dining, in my opinion. It's the place to go to dine, whether it's just grabbing, a counter service type meal like a Blaze pizza or like deluxe burger if you're in the mood for a quick burger and fries to get out of there, or, something, as fancy as you can get. So I like the wide gamut there. Now, you mentioned Raglan Road, and that one used to be kind of all the hotness of downtown Disney back in the day. You know, that was the place to go. And over the last 18 months, with all these new restaurants coming on, Boathouse and everywhere else around there, you just got so many options. Raglan Road's kind of not gotten talked about as much on, social media, podcasts and so forth. So you still think it's a solid destination to go to?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. And I have to say, we were actually, so we got put outside because the inside entertainment, there was a long wait for the Riverdance entertainment that's inside. But I mean, I've seen Riverdance. I'm good. And we were just kind of like, let's go sit outside. And it was actually better entertainment than what was inside, in my opinion. Like, we went inside to use the washroom a couple of times, and we kind of saw what was happening in there. And I was just kind of, pleasantly surprised with there was a guy that was from Ireland, and he was just singing, and he was doing all sorts of covers and some originals, and it was just so much fun. And he got the audience going, and it was just a blast. I ended up giving him a $20 tip because I was like, dude, you're awesome. Like, this is really cool. And he really made my meal very entertaining, which is nice. But I was kind of along the same lines too, where I was like, should we go here? Like, maybe we should try somewhere new, but I'm glad we went there because it was really fun and it was really good food.
Yeah. That's what I find myself. I find myself in this like catch-22 when it comes to Disney Springs. Now it's like, I'm excited to go to the place that I pick, whether it's homecoming or, I enjoyed that. But every time I go over there, I feel guilty because when I pick one thing, I'm saying no to like 9 other things that I want to try. And I know, those are things we'll do down the line, but of course you want to experience as much as you can on every trip. And I'm sad because there's still so many places at Disney Springs that I've never had a meal there, and I'm excited for that, but it's going to take a while.
Oh, totally. I know. Yeah. My husband and my brother-in-law and his girlfriend went to Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar. I went back to the room for a rest because I wasn't feeling super well when I was on the trip. I had a bit of a cold, so I just went back for a rest, and they went there and they said it was amazing. They said it was one of the coolest restaurants they've ever been to. I didn't get to see it, but they said it was cool.
Oh, it's awesome. It is so cool. But again, it's one of those things like you can go to Jock Lindsay's. There's so many cool places to do stuff, like Planet Hollywood. Even the Observatory now has a nice lounge area. Disney did it right because it's going to have you coming back each and every trip, probably multiple times if you have the time on your trip. And it's a happening place. I'm sure the locals are especially happy to have something like that, to go out where it's non-ticketed. And, I'd love to have something like that, because, it's a Saturday night, Friday night. It'd be a great place to go if you had something like that, nearby to drive to.
Oh, totally.
Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, we don't have anything like that here in St. Louis. Bummer, bummer.
I would love to do that. I'd love to just like be able to just go over there. So there's like you said, there's so many cool places like Steak and or STK, I guess you call it, and like Morimoto's. I don't know. There's so many cool places that we walked by that we just didn't have time to go to, but
yeah,
eventually we'll get there.
That's it. They've got us, but you'll never get them all because they'll keep putting in new places, changing other places out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Well, that's a good problem to have. Now, you mentioned you went to Typhoon Lagoon for your husband's birthday. Was this his pick? Did he say, this is what I want to do on my birthday?
Yeah, he kind of was like, I was like, you can do whatever you want. What would you like to do? And he's like, you know what? I really enjoy the water park because it's got this great lazy river. And, you can get out and grab a drink. And there was some new, there's the new May Day Falls, I think it was, that just opened there.
Yep. Misadventure Falls, I think.
Misadventure Falls, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah. So we went and rode that, which was really fun. And, yeah, we did pretty much everything. They went and did the big slides. I just watched. I'm good without slides. But yeah, no, it was a nice, relaxing day. It was nice and warm. Obviously, it was hot. It was boiling, let's be honest.
For real.
But it was good.
I was there. It was hot. So let me ask you about that. So you're not from a place like, you know, because here in St. Louis, we'll get a heat index in the summertime of 110. So it's at least as hot here as it is in Florida. But the problem is, I'm just like, if it's a heat index of 110, I'm sitting in my basement where it's 68. You know, I'm not trying to walk 10 miles in this, you know, 100% humidity with that kind of heat. What's it like for you guys? Because you're from a, you know, very much a place that doesn't deal with heat that intense.
Yeah, so, I mean, it can get up to about 30 here. I guess 30 is
hot.
In the 80s, yeah. I guess, let's say, in the 80s. So it does get a little bit warm, but not as hot, obviously not as hot as there. I grew up in the interior where we got, like, around, it could get into the hundreds in the summertime, and then it would get really cold in the wintertime. So I kind of experienced that. Not as much humidity, though. It's a dry heat, so a little different. But we just kind of take it in stride. We just bring a lot of water. We have these cool, these towels that are, they're like coolies, they're called, I think. And you get them wet once and then they stay wet, like, or damp all day, and they cool you down. You can just fan them out and then you put them on your neck or your legs or whatever. And they're really awesome for hot days. And just make sure you, like, wear a lot of sunscreen, bring a hat. That's pretty much it.
Well, sounds like you guys had an awesome trip, man. It's because summer is not a bad time to go. I think a lot of people are scared to death to go in the summer because, I mean, it is hot. But the thing is you just take breaks. Like, you guys went to a water park for a day. You spent a day at the pool at Riverside. I think that, you know, the summer can be a great time. And the crowds, what did you think of the crowds? Because I go every summer. And I don't think they're that bad because I have my fast passes scheduled. You know, I go at rope drop. I'm back at the hotel by noon or 1 o'clock. We catch lunch. We go swimming. We don't go back till at night. So we have a plan to kind of steer clear of the big hiccups that you can get in the summertime. But is this something you would, you know, maybe not do again in the summertime? Or was it something that was fine?
You know, it was a little hot. Like, I think I would try and do... Like, normally we go in, like, February or March. I'd like to go in September or October when it's a little bit cooler, but still warm. Yeah, I don't know. We kind of do the same thing where we do the rope drop in the morning, and then we come back in the afternoon and chill out for a bit and then go back at night. So that's kind of a way to beat the heat and the crowds. We didn't find the crowds were too bad. Not really anything different than, like, we went to Disneyland for the 60th anniversary, and that was nuts. So it wasn't really crazier than that. So,
yeah, you gotta have your one horror story to be like, well, it's not that bad. You know, like, that's why I go to Epcot on New Year's Eve, like, you know, once every couple of years, just to say, well, today wasn't as bad as New Year's Eve at Epcot. You know, it didn't take 7 hours to get out of the parking lot. So you got to have perspective. That's good. So as we wrap up, it sounds like you guys had a really good trip. So any other, like, lessons learned from this trip that you want to share with the listeners, or, you know, maybe a surprise that happened, something like that, to close out the show?
There was one unfortunate thing that happened on our trip, which really sucks, but I ended up contracting Zika when I was down there.
Oh, wow.
So I'm lucky that I'm not pregnant or planning on getting pregnant in a little while. But I had really bad rashes the whole time I was down there, and it really sucked because I just got really tired a lot. And they had signs up for like wearing mosquito repellent and stuff, but I unfortunately didn't see them until after. They do give out free mosquito repellent, and you should take it because... I definitely saw other people with it too down there, and it's definitely there, which sucks. And I've been to the doctor since, but it's in your system. It can be in your system for up to 6 months. So I'm still having, like, I get really tired still, and, like, I have hives every once in a while, which is really annoying. Kind of TMI, sorry, but yeah, that's the one thing that I would definitely say if you're going in the summertime, and if this keeps being a thing, if Zika keeps being a thing, make sure you wear mosquito repellent and be aware that that's a thing down there, because it sucks.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that happened to you. That's no fun at all, but it's a great, you know, reminder to folks, because even myself, you know, of course, you heard about it. That's all you heard about, I would say, probably 18 months ago, you know, like when it was first kind of, I guess, spreading. You know, that was it was the only thing you heard in the news was Zika, especially here in the Midwest, too, because
totally.
we were worried about it. But then, you know, I even heard some folks talking on the radio probably a month or so ago asking if, it had been eradicated or if it was totally gone now, because obviously there's the media has moved on to other things. So I guess, but I did, you're right. When I was down there in July, I remember seeing stands all over the place with mosquito repellent and signs saying, you know, you can use this. I remember one distinctly kind of walking over by Expedition Everest at Animal Kingdom, passing by over there, kind of where you get your picture with the mountain in the background, but they were all over the place. So good reminder. I mean, I'm sad that that happened to you, but you know, maybe your pain can spare a few other folks down the line.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, yeah, because we don't really have mosquitoes in Victoria that much because we're right by the ocean. So it's kind of, it's weird because we don't have a lot of stagnant water right in the inner harbor. So it was like, I thought at first I just had like a rash from a plant or something, because it was like it just showed up one morning and then it just stayed. Like, I had the rash for about 2 weeks, so it was pretty brutal.
All right, well, I hope you're feeling better. So let's bounce back on that.
And, things are good. Bounce
good,
back.
Good deal, good. Well, Jamie Lee, thanks for making our Monday. It's great to start off by talking about a great Disney memory. Sounds like you guys had a great trip, and we'll talk soon after your next Disney trip.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. They are the best. They keep you having a great time. They're an insurance policy against the crowd. Check them out today over at touringplans.com and get your good read on. You got two options now. You got The Wisdom of Walt and you have Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the new book from Jeff Barnes. This one's focused on Walt Disney World, our favorite place down in Florida. Many lessons from Walt Disney to improve your life, your career, your family, your relationships. It's an inspiring book about our favorite place. So check them all out. Get all the information. Go on Amazon and pick up any of the copies of the book, or just go by thewisdomofwalt.com. Don't forget, when you do your online shopping, please use our affiliate link. We appreciate that so very much. It helps very, very much with the podcast costs. Just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, and we get a little kickback. Costs you nothing extra. We appreciate that so much. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook page. Drop on by today at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. We'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. So for Jamie Lee, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.